Hearing now will be opened for testimony on House Bill 1064. Are there any proponents?
Good morning to the members of the Judicial Committee. Again, my name is Dave McCray. I'm a law enforcement specialist for the Wildlife Division of South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. We're here to discuss House Bill 1064. And before we do, the handout that I provided is current statute. And what it deals with is the law enforcement authority of a wildlife law enforcement officer or conservation officer to serve warrants of arrest and other processes of the court. And the underlying portion, this is the existing law. I just underline this section to bring attention to you the current verbiage in state law. Conservation officers and their supervisors shall have full power and authority to serve and execute all warrants and process of law issued by a court in enforcing the provisions of any law of the state relating to matters under the jurisdiction of the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. I'm not an attorney, but we do have a concern in our agency because this appears to be fairly limiting. I think the intent is to be limiting that as a wildlife law enforcement officer, even though I'm a fully trained South Dakota peace officer, and we have one of the best, I have to go through the DCI Academy like any other law enforcement officer. We're probably the best trained and equipped law enforcement officers in the state, and we have one of the best in-service training programs throughout our entire career. When I encounter a warrant situation that I lawfully disclose while performing my duties as a conservation officer, if it doesn't relate to matters under the jurisdiction of the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks, I may very well not have legal authority to effect that arrest. And folks, I'm very passionate about this because in those 7 years I spent specifically in Minnehaha County, I made more non-GFP warrant arrests than any conservation officer in the state. Our officers encounter these situations all the time, and we have concerns because of what appears to be the limiting nature of the verbiage in existing law. Now I have to admit to the members of the committee, if this verbiage existed, which appeared to limit our ability to serve warrants, arrest warrants, to matters under the jurisdiction, why was I serving or effecting arrest of those that were clearly outside the jurisdiction? And the answer is I didn't know about this. And the top of each and every arrest warrant reads to any law enforcement officer of this state. It doesn't say excluding conservation officers, and that's kind of what I was hanging my hat on. But I'm a fully trained South Dakota peace officer that lawfully discloses the existence of these arrest warrants. Our state is growing in population. Society is continuing to change, and what we ask for the committee is, according to the the bill that we've offered to affect Section 541.15.10, is to clarify that when a conservation officer is in the performance of his lawful duties as assigned by the department and he or she encounters an arrest warrant that is outside the jurisdiction of the department, the clarification would be that they would be able to effect that arrest. And I can't talk about this without sharing some of my stories, and I'll share probably two of the most dangerous situations I encountered. And you'll see the connection, I hope, that we make here when we're doing our job as conservation officers. I'm not stepping over that boundary. But again, the years in Minnehaha County, and Representative McCauley will know the Wall Lake area very well, and he's probably quite aware of the problems out at Wall Lake. I put in hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of patrol work out at Wall Lake. It's a small little man-made lake just about 9 miles west of Sioux Falls. And especially starting about 1992-93, when the lake was recovered, it was dredged, we restocked it, the quality of the water improved, the fishery came back, and people flocked to the lake again. And it was almost as though I was out there doing war with certain elements. We had gang members who were utilizing the lake. I have taken methamphetamine off the beach because we have that authority. Lots of boating violations, boating under the influence. And for on the long-term average, every fourth person I contacted for a Game and Fish Code violation at Wall Lake, I was also arresting for a warrant, an outstanding warrant, that was not under the jurisdiction of the department. On one summer, this is going back to 1994, it was a summer, about midsummer, late afternoon, I was performing what's called shore-based patrol of boating activity, and I was watching the South Zone Swim Beach area. It's a zone swim beach, there were swimmers present. When it's zoned, it's a boat exclusion zone. Boats obviously cannot enter that zoned area for public safety concerns. And I observed a boat under power and high speed enter the zone swims area, go about 100 feet in, nearly missing some children swimming, and then make a V to come back out of the swim zone. Well, because I was doing shore-based patrol, I wasn't able to make contact with the person right away. There were two in the boat. I waited till they came back to the boat ramp and actually had their boat loaded up. So what started as a Class 2 boating violation, by the time I was done with the individual, escalated into a felony arrest because there was a warrant from the state of Kansas for this individual. And for those in law enforcement, when they will extradite anywhere in the United States, that's an indication that it's a pretty serious warrant. So I was able to get this individual handcuffed and arrested. Based on that warrant, I arrested him as a fugitive from justice. Now, the warrant itself was for causing severe bodily harm to a Manhattan, Kansas police officer. He had committed aggravated assault against a law enforcement officer. And here I am, a fully trained South Dakota conservation officer, performing my lawful duties. I made lawful contact with the individual, and I disclosed the existence of a felony warrant. I have to make that arrest immediately. And I hope you understand why I use that as an example, going back once again to the existing language of state law. You can't wait. You can't give the people time to plan. You can't give them time to react. Again, you have to effect the arrest. Another situation I encountered, and again, this is to demonstrate that we run into these situations while performing our duties as conservation officers. Highway 38 floodgates was right on the northwest corner of the Sioux Falls, Joe Foss Field along the Sioux River. There's floodgates on the Sioux River, and I used to patrol that quite actively and made numerous arrests for everything from fishing out of license to fishing over bag to possession of marijuana, paraphernalia, and also warrant arrests. But one evening, and this was in 1993, I contacted two individuals who started walking away from the floodgates when they saw my approach. And I could tell that something was wrong with these individuals. When I made contact, one said he was from California, the other said he was from Arizona. Well, that increases the potential danger of the contact, because if they are non-residents, they didn't have fishing licenses, they're going to have to post bond before I can release them. So that does increase the problem. But something told me that something was very wrong with these two. I ended up following them down to where their vehicle was parked on Highway 38A. And something told me, don't let them get back into their vehicle. So I kept the one individual by the gate, and the other one I kept him in my vehicle. There were no warrants for him. He had established residency, so I issued him a citation for fishing out a license, and he was good to go. I told him, please stand by the gate, do not go back to your vehicle, while I cite the second individual. Three times. While I was citing the second individual, the first person I cited tried to get into the vehicle, and I had to jump out of my vehicle and tell him to come back to the gate. On two occasions, the individual I was citing wanted to get out of my vehicle and go to his vehicle under some ruse or guise, and I kept him in my vehicle. In about 5 minutes, I had disclosed the existence of a felony warrant out of Mojave County, Arizona, for the individual on weapons and drug trafficking charges. And there was what's called a 1050 attached to it, which is an officer caution warning because the individual is involved with biker activities also. Trooper John Norberg was my backup. I had already made the physical arrest, had the subject in handcuffs when Trooper Norberg arrived. And there was a fully loaded pump shotgun pushed up against the front seat of that vehicle. Now, we talk about officer safety issues and we talk about public safety issues. Within 1 minute after I had him handcuffed, a family that had been fishing the floodgates came walking up right by my vehicle, walking back to their vehicle parked off the highway. Let's use our imagination if I hadn't made that arrest. I need to know as a wildlife law enforcement officer that I'm recognized as a law enforcement officer and that when I disclose these warrants, misdemeanor or felony that are outside the jurisdiction of the department, that I need to follow through and make that physical arrest. One other situation that we routinely encounter comes right in our regional offices. When somebody doesn't have a valid South Dakota driver's license, they have to get approval from us in order to get a resident license. We used to make warrant arrests right in our Game and Fish office. We still do, because you have to pick up the phone and make phone calls to state radio or the Metro Communications in Minnehaha County to verify identity, and then they're telling you, well, there's a warrant for, and it can be anything. I've arrested people for everything from fair to peer, or pay fine for speeding, up to, like I said, the felony warrants that I've discovered while or disclosed while I was out performing my duties. But we make warrant arrests right in our offices. I checked with the Sioux Falls office in calendar year 2000. Just between the officers in the office, they made almost 40 warrant arrests right inside the office. Again, I'm very passionate about this because I've been in that situation many, many times. And thinking about the officer safety considerations, the public safety considerations, our officers need to have that confidence that when they lawfully disclose the existence of these warrants, that they can effect the arrest. And because, again, in the language, we tie it into performing their duties as a conservation officer. If the local sheriff tries to hand a conservation officer a stack of warrants and says, please go serve these, that's not what we're looking for. So we have, working with Pam Roberts, have drafted this so that it does tie directly into while we're performing our duties. And the other way that I used to make a lot of my warrant arrests in Sioux Falls, contact people fishing without a license on the Sioux River during the summer. It's always, in fact, I used to work the same places, and twice I checked Robert Leroy Anderson. Those are some of the people we deal with. And I'd make contact, no fishing license, get them up to the vehicle, run the standard warrant information, and there it is, 1029 or 1016. So very important to us, and again, I'm very passionate about it. And at this time, if you have any questions, I would sure be happy to.
Thank you, Mr. McCrory. Any questions, Mr. McCrory, regarding House Bill 1064? Representative Noctegal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. Your training, to become a conservation officer, is it like the same as what highway patrolmen have to do?
It is, except the highway patrol has their own recruit academy. But otherwise, it's exactly the same that any other law enforcement officer has to attend. We have to attend the DCI Basic Law Enforcement Academy, which now has gone from effective January 2001 from 8-week course to a 12-week course. And then after successful completion of the Basic Law Enforcement Academy, we have a 13-week field training program where the recruits actually go through it with experienced officers and go through about 44 or 45 specialized tasks, so they're somewhat proficient before they actually hit their duty station. And then we probably have, quite frankly, one of the best ongoing in-service law enforcement training programs in the state.
One more quick follow-up. Can a highway patrolman, in essence, can he pretty much do what for, like, illegal hunting activities and whatnot? What I'm looking at is you're all law enforcement. I think everyone's felt that way, but is there stuff that they can't do in say your backyard,
Your question relates specifically to highway patrolmen. They have full authority to enforce all the Game and Fish Code.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. McCray? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. I think the intent is correct here. Two points. In other words, you are making the law abide with what you're already doing. Is that
That's correct, sir.
Correct?
Yes.
And then on page two, sentence one up there, would you speak to me about that? It says, other persons shall, if called upon, aid in the enforcement. Is that common with, like, a sheriff or a highway patrolman or something? Do they, can they make that same demand?
Yes, they can, because there's a state law, and Representative Mattson, I'm not sure what title it's under, but you must come to the aid of law enforcement upon request. So that's if a law enforcement officer specifically requests assistance, whether it's from another officer, from another agency, or from the public, there's a law that requires a person to assist, and I believe that that just basically models that existing statute.
So this would correspond with?
That's correct.
Further questions? Representative Siebert.
This changes to while you, to duties that you're assigned to by the Game, Fish, and Parks. I guess I'm trying to, if we go with this, where we differ from the county sheriff. Would you be allowed to check traffic on Highway 38?
No, sir. The only traffic laws that we are specifically authorized to enforce are DWI, reckless driving, and eluding.
If you're on your duty going out to Wall Lake and you find a violation on the way out there and speeding, could you arrest that person?
No, sir. No, that's 32 traffic code, and we don't have the authority for 32 traffic code with the exception of DWI, reckless driving, and eluding.
One more. When you talk about being a trained peace officer, and I guess one of the issues that I have is when you're training as a peace officer, you become familiar with all the laws, and yet you say you wasn't aware that you didn't have jurisdiction.
That's correct.
And I'm wondering if we're not getting too broad in our authority that we might gain.
Well, I guess one way to look at it is a clarification that when we do encounter these warrants, that we don't have this type of language in existing law that prevents an officer from making the arrest. The nexus, representative, is that they would encounter these while they were doing their job as a conservation officer, their lawful duties.
Further questions? Representative Monroe.
Dave, this, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave, this doesn't change what you're doing, really. Like, your job is still to go out and do the Game, Fish, and Parks thing, right? I mean,
that's correct.
It doesn't change anything regarding any other law enforcement activity?
None at all. No. No, sir.
Thanks.
Representative Gillespie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Cooper, can you think of any conservation officers, I'm going in the direction of training here, that have been in that duty for some years that wouldn't have the same training as someone just coming out going into law enforcement, say, with the Sioux Falls City Police?
We've had so much turnover from retirements and promotions. Right now, I'm trying to think of what the percentage is, but I think 50% of our officers have been on 5 years and less, or less. So we have virtually all the officers who would have come on when training standards were at a minimum have retired. They're gone. We have basically a newly trained, young conservation officer force out there. And they've all been, in fact, at least a third of the current force has been through not only the academy, but the field training program. I'm old enough, I just went through the academy. We didn't have a detailed field training program.
Just one more question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If there is someone out there that is in need of additional training, does the GFP have plans to facilitate that for individuals that don't have the adequate training?
We would have a remedial plan that would be worked out through our training coordinator and the respective regional supervisor, but I'm not sure we have anybody who would fall into that category right now.
Okay. There's no one.
No.
Thank you.
For the committee members, it's a little out of the order, but I had asked Mr. Bezalitz the question relative to line 5 regarding the duties assigned, since the committee had been going down that path, and candidly, it was a question, an issue that I had. I'll pass around the PACA part to 4115.10.1, which is really the limitation as to the law enforcement powers that conservation officers have, and I believe that that will be of help. Representative Mattson.
Thank you. That's also the subject of House Bill 1057, which is up for consideration right. This morning, and those right. Are contained there as well.
Very good. Thank you. Yes. Further questions of Mr. McCray? Hearing none. Thank you, sir. Are there any further proponents of House Bill 1064? Further proponents? Hearing none. Are there any opponents? Opponents to House Bill 1064. Hearing none, the committee will close for deliberations. Representative Hennies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen of the committee, I just want to tell you that I think this is a very important cleanup bill for these people that are out there for several reasons. First of all, you want to remember when they are enforcing hunting laws, every person they contact is armed. And the people that they are contacting don't recognize the limitations on a conservation officer's powers. If he has a red light on the car, if he's armed, he's a cop. He doesn't know whether or not they have the power to arrest under a warrant or not. Oftentimes, they make contact with people that are not in an arrest situation. So they don't have the authority. As we first would look at this, you'd say, well, if you're going to arrest him for a boating violation, you can arrest him for that, and they can serve the warrant when they get to jail. But the fact is that they make a lot of contacts that are not arrest situations. And then that person knows this is a cop. This is a cop that's questioning me. He's checking my identification. He doesn't know he doesn't have the authority to arrest him. So I think this is probably a mistake in the law to begin with. Should be cleaned up. And with that, I would move due pass.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Representative Brown. Is there further discussion on the due pass motion?
Here.
Hearing none, all those in favor of due pass on House Bill 1064 signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
House Bill 1064, having received a majority vote of the members of the committee elect.
Go ahead and finish, Mr. Chairman. Then I'll make a motion put in the consent calendar.
Is declared passed.
Speaker, I make a motion we place in the consent calendar.
It's moved and seconded by Representative Siebert that this be placed on the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.